KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Our in-depth guest tonight is Aaron Ross, writer, comedian, actor, and a good friend of ours at KBOO. He's the host of Who's the Ross, a live on stage late night talk show that's run over 15 years and 900 plus performances. His guests include a who's who of comedians, athletes, musicians, politicians, and TV celebrities. Aaron moved to Los Angeles, or Ross Angeles, as he likes to call it, in 2018, and he continues to host and interview a who's who of celebrities from the world of comedy, music, movies, TV, sports, and politics. Aaron recently started the Who's the Ross podcast, featuring interviews he did back 15 years ago along with newer guests. It's a wealth of material that's now available wherever you get your podcasts. Aaron's visiting Portland, so it's a perfect time to check in with him on the podcast, the live talk show, and his other projects. Aaron Ross, welcome back to KBOO. Wow. It's so good to have you here. This is my first live on-air interview post-pandemic.
Look, I'm so honored to be here with you, the legend. As an interviewer, I now become the interviewee. And your first, since it's your first live interview back in studio, how long?
Over 3 years.
Over 3 years.
Even clear.
I brought you a gift from Ross Angeles.
Oh my God!
I have a gift for you.
I hope it's not a McFluffy or.
No. It's even better. This jar here. This is organic smog.
Oh my God, I miss that. I grew up in LA. I miss the smog.
And
yeah.
It's coming soon, Portland. Don't worry. You've only got another decade or two until it starts.
Right.
You can bottle your own. It's got a little scent of lilac and actor's tears. And I just wanted to give you this little gift.
Oh, thank
there.
You, Aaron. The synthetic smog I've been using is just not the same.
I brewed that myself, so.
Right. Well, the last time you were here was December 2018, talking about pre-pandemic. You had moved from Portland to LA, and you were back in town for a special holiday edition of Who's the Ross. That was at Dante's Club downtown.
Yeah.
Where you have quite a history.
Yeah, I mean, I did a decade at Dante's, and anyone who's been to Third and Burnside must ask themselves, hearing this, like, there's a late night talk show in this place? There was a talk show in that place?
Right. Well, that club's been going pretty strong for a while.
I love that place so much. I love the leaky ceilings, the repulsive bathrooms, the musky basement. But what I really love about it is the electricity of being in a space like that, in that neighborhood, and getting to do interviews and having an audience that's truly live, that's yelling things up. I mean, you on this podcast, so you mentioned that holiday time, and that's when I interviewed, which is my all-time favorite interview, which connects to Portland, which is former Trailblazer All-Star Cliff Robinson.
Cliff Robinson, yes.
And it was,
you have quite a rapport with Cliff. Well, the late Cliff Robinson.
The RIP, Rip City in not just pun, but he was the rapport. And you listen to the podcast. This is the first interview, and I led with it because it was my all-time favorite. And you mentioned rapport, and the incredible thing about the rapport, and what I detail in the podcast, whether it's an old interview from 3 years ago or something I did 3 days ago in Los Angeles, is how I got the guest to come on a show that, you know, I don't have the big budget, the big money of KBOO. You know, I don't have a whole production. I don't have a wonderful Athena.
KBOO, we only get the very best.
You got the best.
Yeah. But, you know, they're tearing down the doors to get interviewed here.
But for me, it's you know, the triad of me, myself, and I. And so I'm just a guy.
You're doing an amazing job getting guests.
I appreciate that. It is, people ask how, and I say, I just ask. With Cliff, it was the exact same thing. I detail on the podcast how I met him, and you can listen and hear about that. But well, you mentioned rapport, and the funny thing is, I never met the man. I never spoke to the man. There was no pre-interview. There was no phone call. There was no green room handshake. I met him when he got on stage, and there was a kinship. And for 30 minutes, I just had this electric, beautiful. Can I say that we trailblazed?
Yes.
We're public radio.
At your peril.
We're very liberal. We and I don't smoke. But he goes, come on, Ross, light it up.
Well, he had a line of cannabis, didn't he?
He did. He had a cannabis line. He'd been a big advocate. And you know, as times had changed back then, you could miss a season for smoking. And now it's in the collective bargain agreement for the NBA.
I think just very recently. Yeah.
It was interesting to see time change. But he was, you know, and you grow up and you're 8 years old and you're watching this guy play. And then all of a sudden, you know, flash forward 30-ish years later.
Yeah, kind of peak trailblazer years.
Man, it just was so beautiful. And he's such a beautiful person. So getting to put out these interviews is a joy. And I know you're going to ask, and I'll beat you to it, you know, why a podcast? You know, I've I have a bachelor's.
Ah, that's exactly my next question.
I know this game, Ken.
You have over 15 years now of material. It's so great to revisit it.
Well, I wanted to go backwards into this. I said to myself, originally, the goal is television show. Hit the Tonight Show, baby. Make it big. You know, like your idols before you, Johnny Carson. I want a Letterman spot, a Conan spot. But I said, no, I want to go backwards. I want to start, you know, I start live in a space, and then, you know, you'd think you'd start with the podcast because that could be easy. No, I decided I would do that at year 15. You know, I've done the heavy lifting. Let's go to the thing that's...
Well, you had a detailed plan there.
I've always... In 30 years, I'll start public access.
Right. CCTV or something.
And on my deathbed, they'll roll me into the Tonight Show studios and they'll say, this is the last television episode of all time. Because all the kids are going to have the chips in their brains. They don't need TV anymore.
Right.
But they're going to give me...
Kind of like the new Apple
my
device.
Last, yeah, they're going
to
give me my
goggles.
Last... Right, my last wish. That's when I'm going to be on television. But
so why a podcast?
Well, a friend of mine said when the pandemic hit and I was doing not in a live venue like I'd been doing at Dante's or El Cid in LA or the Alamo Cinema where we're doing it now, I was... at my mother's house and doing Zooms. And all of a sudden with the Zooms...
With your mom as co-host.
My mom as co-host. And all of a sudden with the Zooms, I was recording a podcast. I just didn't know it, right? I mean, you know, you're talking to someone you admire for an hour, and all of a sudden you have this thing. You're recording with pro mics. You're editing it down.
Exactly.
To go on
to do at home now.
Twitch or live, whatever stream. And he said, dude, you just did it. I know you're reticent because you like the live art, but you did the job. Just put it out. It took me a while to figure out how to package it, but I realized the story I wanted to tell was as just a regular guy who's just enthusiastic about the format of talk shows and these people that I think are great, whether they're athletes or hip-hop stars or politicians or, you know, actors or comedians, that I just want to tell a story about how I got these interviews and how the relationships were created. And so often there is a relationship after. You know, the chat. Cliff.
I've experienced that myself. That's actually one of the most rewarding parts of interviewing people.
You and I have become friends from this. We check in with each other. My first interview with you must have been 6 or 7 years ago, but
I think so.
You came
yeah.
to my one man show, before
your,
I moved.
Your TV series
Training Wheels,
with Jordan.
You know, it's. I think that I desire friendship, so I'm also that type of it. You know, some interviewers are like, great, we did it. Thank you so much. You know, and I'm like, will you please be my friend?
Well, I think there's a connection that goes on during the interview, and sometimes it lasts.
It's a date. We're having a date.
Yeah, and then there's interviews which are less personal, like you see on, somebody has to interview people 5 times a week.
Right.
Yeah, they can't afford to really do too much research to get to know the person that well.
The pre-interviews and you're on TV and you get 7 minutes. But for our sake, you know, what you folks don't, you know, see at home is that we cracked open that jar of smog and we threw some olives in a glass with it and we're sipping it.
Right, smog martini.
We're having
smog martini
feeling yeah. good.
Now let's get to some of the guests.
Yes.
And we talked about, we've released 4 episodes of the podcast so far.
Yes.
So the first one we talked about, you feature Cliff Robinson from a previous interview. Mm-hmm. Also Ishmael Butler of Digable Planets, a hip-hop musician. 3 of the artists behind the Oscar-winning film Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Yeah.
And 2 writers from The Simpsons, Brent Forrester, and then one who lives here in Portland, Bill Oakley.
Yeah.
Why did you select these interviews to launch the podcast?
The first one with Cliff and Ishmael Butler, I like doing at least two guests a show. Now, if it's a panel, we'll just put that like the Everything, Everywhere, All at Once crew members. But I like having 2 people that have a sort of thematic road. So the theme of Ishmael Butler of Digable Planets and Cliff was people I look up to. You know, when I was 8 and 10, I was listening to Ishmael's records. I was watching Cliff
That's
play.
Such a thrill as an interviewer, isn't that?
I'm living out a childhood dream.
As a kid.
I'm living out a dream. You know, Brent and Forrester and Bill Oakley wrote on The Simpsons at the same time. So their stories intersect. They
when
work
you were
together.
Watching The Blazers with Cliffy and
Again.
You were listening to Digable Planets.
Look, the thing is, Cliff, if people love the 90s, that's when I grew up, they're going to love these interviews because they're often going to see things that they loved too. I mean, how can you not? These are the things you're inspired by, right? But yeah.
I'm older than you, but I still like those interviews. I
Thank
think
you.
It's not like we shut off popular culture entirely when we get to 30.
The Simpsons, again, yeah, like as formative of comedy as
and
there
it's
is.
Been on for 25 years now?
35.
Oh, my.
Years. 35 years. As Bill Oakley says on my podcast, and he was showrunner of season 7 and 8, and they're considered 2 of the best seasons of all time. And he said, we did what we wanted because there was no way after an 8th season, this was going to continue. I mean, that right? Most, no, you know, when what MASH was on maybe 10 years, but they, so they think,
Seinfeld for 9.
Right. So they think that the shelf life of this is done. Let's take some chances. And then if they want to kick us out, no big deal. We weren't going to get to keep going anyways. And, you know, little did they know, there was still another 25 years later and more and more and more and more.
I recommend that interview to all Simpsons fans. So it's both Brent Forrester and Bill Oakley in the same episode.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Bill's showrunner of season 7 and 8, some of the best episodes of all time. Brent wrote Homer Palooza. You know, both he and Bill wrote on the.
And he tells a great story of how he actually did research.
He went to Lollapalooza. Yeah.
And it didn't turn out too well for him, but it turned into some really good material for the show.
For anyone who loves that episode and remembers the line, like, where they say, hey, Narc, we're just trying to have a good time, Narc. He had someone call
right,
him a Narc.
Right, because he was recording. It,
you know,
to
he's
take
26.
Notes for a show, yeah.
But it's counterculture, and they're probably teenagers. And they're like, get out of here, old Narc.
I've been around people like that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's.
I usually arrest them.
Yeah, that's right. Well, as we should.
Right.
Yeah. I've got, you know, I'm undercover right
yes,
now,
you're
too.
Right. I
you
am
know,
a Narc.
That's right. That's right. I am a Narc. Slap on the cuff.
Now, how about some of the guests that are coming up?
Yeah.
You sent me a list. So there'll be some Portland based artists like Bill Oakley. And our local band, the Decemberists, local.
Yeah.
I mean, they're known all over the world.
December.
But it must help to live in Los Angeles because there's so many actors, comedians, musicians there. You told a story in one of your podcasts of how you literally ran after one of your guests before,
oh, yeah.
before she
Shirley agreed. Carrata is a right. fashion designer. She's designed for Pharrell. She's designed for Billie Eilish, but she made the costumes for Everything Everywhere All at Once. On a Sunday or a Monday, the Oscar nominations come out. And on a Tuesday, I take my car to the mechanic and I... see behind me the big, she has these large glasses and a rainbow sweater. I'd seen that in photos, and I look in my rear view and I go, that's Shirley Carrata. I leap out the car and I go, hi, I'm a really big fan. I love the movie so much. I've seen it 3 times already, and I have the show at the Alamo Cinema. Will you please come on my show? We'd show the movie, and then I want to interview you, and I'm a really big fan. I would really want... And she
said, take a deep breath.
She said, take a deep breath. When they reboot Micro Machines, you get to be their spokesman.
And she agreed to appear on your show, and she brought over 2 of her colleagues.
And it's the funniest thing. She's like, you know, I get nervous, and also I'm kind of tired about talking about me. Do you mind if I bring the production manager and the costume or the set decorator? And I go, do I mind if you make this a big panel with these excellent people that are all going to be at the Oscars? And yes.
And a great interview. I was listening to it and it was amazed. It's not a big budget picture, even though it looks like
million.
One Oscar winner.
Yes.
And yet they did everything on the cheap, including getting a slight raise in the budget where they were able to buy cubicles for the office scenes with Jamie Lee Curtis.
The most expensive thing is they'll tell you if you hear the interview is that the cubicles are the most expensive
yes.
prop. Yeah, my website's whostheross.com. There's this little startup called Spotify and another startup called Apple, and you can hear the podcast on that. Yeah, yeah. And if you're a fan of Everything Everywhere at Once, which I think is a generationally great movie. I mean, I think once every 10 years, you know, the things I think of the past decade are like Parasite and Everything Everywhere All at Once. If you're a fan, you know, learn the real inside and amazing Easter eggs in that interview. And the great thing, you know, all these other interviews are often, I've talked to someone 2, 3, 4, as in the case of Carlos Alazraki from Reno 911.
Oh, that's right.
10
you said
times.
You become somewhat friendly with him too.
We go see LAFC soccer games together. Football. I don't want to get mad. I don't want Portland to get mad either. It's called football. But you know, the cool thing about the interview with that's unedited. That's just 45 minutes of me sitting down with a live audience at the Alamo Cinema. And it just was, it was magic. I felt so lucky. So.
And you usually do interviews there that sync up with the movie they're showing.
Yeah.
So if they show Everything Everywhere All at Once, mm-hmm. you'll do an interview with somebody connected to the film.
And how great for the audience to have just seen this epic film.
Right.
Even if it's the second or third time, and then go, oh my, you know, because it's so affecting. And then to get to hear all this insight, you know, and it's affecting for the people that make it too. And so we're all sort of sitting in this magical space where we're sort of smiling and tearing up and just feeling beautiful. It's really amazing. We showed Billy Madison and Half Baked. We did.
Oh, you have the director.
And we had the next episode of the podcast. It'll be out in a week or two.
Tamara
Davis.
Davis.
Oh. And again, you know, I've said it a bunch in the past 10 minutes, but it is a childhood dream. I mean, this is a person that made movies that, you know, taught me about silly, stupid, smart is my favorite. You know,
funny too. I think yeah. that's the most important part.
They make me laugh a lot. And right. so this woman directed these epic films and this, you know, Jim Carrey, Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler.
And Dave Chappelle. For some reason, I said Jim Carrey because I'm thinking about Dumb and Dumber, which he did not do.
Right.
But it popped in my head. But yeah, that's going to be the next episode. And that was live again, you know, with the audience getting to ask questions as well. And there was such an electric feeling.
Here's a question I get. I'd like to ask you as an interviewer. Do you have a bucket list of people you'd like to interview? And maybe even more importantly, maybe that one Moby Dick, that white whale that you're questing for but might be pretty impossible to catch.
Who have I asked the most? I think sitting down with Dave Letterman is, especially now that we've got this.
Have you tried? Have you contacted him?
No. I only sort of chuckle at myself because I'm like, not yet. I always believe these things will come, you know? I saw Michael Keaton in a Safeway in L.A., and had a quick exchange. And I normally would ask someone to be on the show, but it was such a good exchange. I thought to myself, I'll wait. And when I get to interview him, I'll remind him of the time where I showed him where the wine aisle was in Safeway. But David Letterman and Nardwar is a big, big one.
That's a person I've heard talked about so much, but I didn't know until... and of course, once you learn something, you find Nardwar references everywhere now.
Everywhere. Because in the past decade, he's become this mythological interviewer. I mean, he's become, to a degree, especially because so much interviewing is now on the internet, YouTube, social media. He's interviewed all the big pop culture people, music people. I mean, he started with Kurt Cobain backstage at a concert in Vancouver, British Columbia. That's my Nardwar impression.
Oh, that's his Nardwar.
Yeah.
You see, I haven't listened to him.
You're Ken
Jones.
I'm
gonna have to look it up.
We've got to know.
All right. I'll just raise my voice. I'll be a little bit more popular with Nardwar.
But those are my answers today.
Oh.
And you know what? Maybe Bill Clinton, just so I can Clinton on Clinton.
Where can people find out more? Not just the podcast, Aaron, but your live shows, talk shows, maybe anything coming up in Portland? I don't know.
Whostheross.com, WHOSTH.
No apostrophe.
No apostrophe. It's the Tony Danza sitcom name repurposed with my name in it.
Right.
Whostheross.com. Like I said, those little upstarts have my podcast. And people can see videos of characters that I do. I do a lot of man on the street stuff in Hollywood. I'm doing a short film about the father of the dad joke. I play I play David Connolly, father of the dad joke.
I should mention that Aaron's also great at impressions. He does the Beatles, Pee Wee Herman.
Right.
We won't have time for that.
Yeah, we have to wrap.
Do we? You know.
We got a little bit of time.
Well, we got all five there.
Yeah, we got that.
Well, Aaron, thanks so much for joining us back again, Ken. At KABU. I really appreciate it. We've been talking live in the KABU studios with Aaron Ross, writer, comedian, actor, and the host of Who's the Ross, the late night talk show, and now the podcast. You can find out more about Aaron, the podcast, and all his projects online at whostheross.com. This is Ken Jones for KABU's News in Depth saying, stay Rossum.
Hey, baby. Love you, Portland.